This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kanesan and Noel Lim. Now, it's 7:35 in the morning, Monday the 23rd of December. And while that does mean it's 2 days to Christmas, it also means it's half an hour to The Breakfast Grill, where Noel Lim will be speaking with Ryan Meyer of General Assembly.
So General Assembly is this global education startup and, you know, considered a unicorn in its sector, I suppose, because Fast Company has rated it as one of the most valuable education startup in the world. When you consider they were sold to a large company, Adecco, for $412 million. So I'll be speaking with the Ryan, who is the Managing Director of Asia Pacific. I think the Malaysian government had rolled out the red carpet for them to come here. They have been in Singapore for quite a number of years. And what they do is that this IR 4.0 type courses, Industrial Revolution 4.0, such as data science, user experience, design thinking, and so forth. What they're trying to do is to close the gap between traditional education, meaning traditional university education, and industry needs. As the world, you know, is moving on so quickly, right? Our degrees are quite quickly obsolete. So that's where GA comes in with their short intensive courses.
Interesting. So that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news. Be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, though, taking a look back over the weekend, fires in Australia have continued to rage, leading to another declaration of emergency for one of its states, New South Wales. So the state's Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, warned about extreme weather wind conditions and surging temperatures that would further complicate efforts to battle the fires. So she said that, and I quote, catastrophic fire conditions have almost completely razed, among others, the town of Balmoral, which is southwest of Sydney, where 400 people live.
Firefighters are struggling to contain wildfires burning across several states amid dry and hot conditions. And in fact, I have family members in Sydney who sent photos over, and it is quite a scary sight. While the haze over here is just, it's smoggy, that there is a little bit of an orange hue to what you see over in the photos, which is
very dystopian.
Yes,
almost,
it is.
Right?
It is. It's like, yeah, it's almost like the apocalypse is coming, and it not in a funny way, but in a very scary way. And since September, Australia's bushfire emergency has killed at least 9 people, destroyed hundreds of homes, and scorched millions of hectares of land. And on Saturday, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison apologised for causing great anxiety by going on holiday in Hawaii during the mounting crisis. I mean, I understand any leader needing to take a break, but maybe time and place. Time and place.
Definitely time and place.
Yeah, so I think it was just the wrong timing for his holidays. I suppose people were expecting to just cancel those holidays, right? But I think really what's going on here, so people are saying this is climate change and they are paying the price for it. So the lack of rain, I think, especially in January and August, I think had caused severe droughts in some areas and very low soil moisture. And so that's why, we are talking about like 6 million acres of land being burnt, 700 homes lost. I think these are quite serious figures. And US and Canada are sending some of their firemen, some of the specialists to help Australia on this matter.
So to shed more insight into the wildfires of Australia, we have on the line with us Dr. Imran Ahmad, Honorary Associate Professor at the Fenner School of Environment and Society at Australian National University. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Imran. So climate change is an issue that the ruling coalition under Scott Morrison seems reluctant to address over in Australia. What would you say is drawing them back from actually focusing on this environmental issue?
I think it's their large political constituency as well. They have members that are ideologically driven against climate change. So that also influences their policies on climate change. For instance, their coalition government, the deputy prime minister said that climate change is, I don't exactly remember the statement, but he said that climate change is for latte drinking lefties or something like that. He made this statement. And so there is that thinking within certain quarters that climate change is probably a leftist issue or probably a green issue. Although the fact is that scientists are now unanimous and there is a consistent view in peer-reviewed scientific literature that climate change is happening at a very alarming pace, and governments, people are calling for climate, using the term climate emergency. Guardian, in fact, newspaper has started using climate emergency instead of climate change.
So on that note, what are the actual sentiments on the ground over the topic of climate change in Australia?
I think it varies, and Australia, Australians in general are very climate aware, and I think it's one of the factors they do consider when voting. But it's not, for some people, it's not vote, it's not the highest voting issue. I think what is important to understand here is that, so if you go to coal community towns like Townsville and others, Hunter Valley, there the sentiments are different because their jobs are at stake. So I think the conversation needs to be happening about a just transition, because you cannot just put these people on the road because their jobs are at stake. So I think the transition needs to happen, because in 20 years' time, there will be no jobs. I mean, given now that solar and wind are cost competitive, have cost parity with new coal plants without a carbon price. So it is absolutely clear that there will be no business case for new coal plants, and they cannot happen without subsidies from somewhere.
Dr. Imran, back in 2012, the Labour-led government had introduced a carbon tax, but that was scrapped due to its unpopularity. Should this be reintroduced, and would it make a difference?
From a theoretical angle, yes. But from a political angle, both parties are in no position to support it, both major parties, because there's no political appetite for tolerating a carbon tax, which is very unfortunate, because we're not factoring in the pollution and the costs of climate change into the economy. At this point, that's a hard reality. Prime ministers have been lost in this country on climate change. We've lost a couple of them. Turnbull was lost on the issue of emissions trading. The scheme he was trying to launch, and in the end, that stream could not be launched fully, and he lost his prime ministership as well. So currently, the prime minister is doing basically the status quo. He, as far as we understand from outside, he doesn't believe in climate change. He's the person who actually took coal when he was a minister in the parliament. So I think the political sides is still very, what I would say, messy. While it should be done, I think the conditions are not there for it to move forward at this point.
So what can Australia do then? How can they actually go about addressing this climate issue?
I think what can happen is that if the Commonwealth government starts supporting state government more in promoting their own policies, state government policies would be one way to deal with this issue. And secondly, if voters start sort of taking climate change even more seriously than they do, and start changing the voting pattern and not send people to the parliament who don't believe in climate change. So that will also help, because in the end, legislations have to be passed, bills have to be prepared, policies have to be prepared, and there has to be a parliament support for that, for the government to implement a climate-sensitive policy.
So Australia is the world's largest exporter of coal and the third largest exporter of fossil fuels. Do you see any other options where Australia can turn to more environmentally friendly solutions? What will be the challenges here then?
What the government, I see, is missing is that Australia has a huge potential in renewable energy, in solar and wind. In fact, one of Australia's leading economists has just published a new book, Australia Can Be a Renewable Superpower. But unfortunately, because it doesn't have an enabling policies at the Commonwealth level, at the federal level, the speed of action is not consistent with the required response that climate change requires now. However, the positive thing is that the states and territories are very active on climate change. ACT has a climate neutrality target. Victoria is also very much advanced in terms of climate change. South Australia is going forward in this as well. So states and territory actions at the state and territory level are picking up pace and are really advancing climate action. But it then sort of gets in conflict with the action at the federal level, where it is not fully supporting in terms of what the scientists are saying that the government should be doing. They're asking for greater action, and government is not doing enough of that.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, Dr. Imran. And that was Dr. Imran Ahmad, Honorary Associate Professor at the Fenner School of Environment and Society at the Australian National University, giving us his thoughts on the Australian wildfires and what the government's response has been and how they could potentially address it. Now, up next, we're going to be speaking with Thomas Fun, Chairman of BRSIF 2.0, on the proportional representation electoral system proposed by the Electoral Reform Committee. Be sure to stay tuned for that after this, after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.